KQED.
From KAZU in Monterey, this is the California Report. I'm John Sepulveda. We are broadcasting from the Central Coast for the next several days. We're going to bring you stories about water, food, murder, family, the itsiest, bitsiest single-cell organisms, and the giant macro effects of climate change. You're going to want to stay with us for those stories. But before we ponder those big topics here in Monterey County, we begin at the state capitol in Sacramento, where powerful spending committees will decide the fate of hundreds of bills this week. That includes a police reform bill that got the attention of Reverend Al Sharpton. From KQED's California Politics and Government Desk, Guy Marzorati has more.
Sharpton was at the Capitol on Tuesday to make his pitch for a bill that would allow the state attorney general's office to investigate local officer-involved shootings.
It is better for all concerned to have independent prosecutions that have nothing to do with the county politics and nothing to do with the daily interchange and daily exchange between local police and the prosecutor.
Law enforcement groups have opposed the bill, saying the attorney general already has that authority. Here's Corey Salzillo with the California State Sheriff's Association speaking at a hearing last month.
There are other things that the AG should be working on rather than investigating these cases based on this notion of a lack of transparency or bias on the part of the district attorney.
Civil rights leaders say the legislature has lost the momentum it had last session on advancing policing reforms. For the California Report, I'm Guy Marzorati in Sacramento.
The past few weeks, we've been telling you about how the University of California kept state auditors in the dark about parts of their budget. Now, a California state senator wants to dramatically limit the University of California's independence. Here's education reporter Anna Tentakulis.
Democratic Senator Ed Hernandez, who represents San Gabriel Valley, wants to amend the state's constitution so lawmakers have more control over UC's president's office. The office and the system itself has enjoyed autonomy for nearly 140 years. Under his proposal, the legislature would directly fund UC's president's office. The Board of Regents would also include more students and faculty. Hernandez says UC governance was last updated in the 1970s.
The state has changed, the population has changed, and I think the regions should change.
The constitutional amendment would first have to get legislative approval. Then it would go before voters.
Who ultimately has the final say? It's the people of the state of California.
It was earlier this month when a state audit revealed UC President Janet Napolitano's office had a so-called undisclosed fund with $175 million in it. UC has agreed to more than 30 reforms recommended by the state auditor, but it's against anything that would limit their powers. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tentakulis.
So let's take a minute to ponder the recreational cannabis catch-22. Legally, you can get high, just not on your own supply, well, at least if that supply is homegrown. That's because while it's legal to smoke recreational marijuana in California, it is against the law to grow it until at least 2018. But here in Monterey County, some longtime flower growers are keeping their eye on the bud. KQED's Sam Harnett explains why.
This plastic flapping in the wind once covered a greenhouse in what was known as the Flower Basket of America. Now many of the greenhouses here on the outskirts of Salinas are abandoned, dilapidated, or worse.
This used to be greenhouses here and it collapsed.
George Omichton is standing in the ruins of one of his family's greenhouses. Omichton's parents were immigrants, migrant workers. They bought property in the early 2000s, trying to become owners instead of laborers. But then cheap flowers from overseas undercut the U.S. market.
For a bouquet, we even sold it for 10 cents a bunch. That's how low we were selling them because we had to get them out as soon as possible.
The family hasn't grown flowers since 2008. Instead, they've been renting out the greenhouses and looking for a way to hold on to their land.
Yeah, we do have debts to pay off.
And it won't be with pretty flowers, but perhaps smokable ones. Monterey County is helping flower growers get into the marijuana business. It passed an ordinance saying you can only grow cannabis in old greenhouses. Aaron Johnson is a local lawyer who specializes in marijuana. He says the county's trying to do two things, to save the greenhouses and prevent new cannabis farms from springing up all over the place.
You've got these vast croplands. They didn't want those to be, paved over for greenhouses. So they basically said, look, keep it at the existing greenhouses, use these things that are falling down.
The ordinance suddenly turned eyesore greenhouses into valuable commodities.
Literally within a period of 2 weeks, I saw the prices go from $50,000 an acre for undeveloped industrial land to about $300,000 an acre.
Basically, the county threw a life vest for us, you know, to save us right now.
At first, Omicton's conservative father was reluctant to grab this life vest because marijuana's a drug.
He's scared that if, you know, SWAT or helicopters came down in, and where were we going to live then, you know, once they raided everything and moved all of us out.
But the legal gray area is actually the reason cannabis may be a more reliable crop than flowers. Marijuana can't be legally transported across international borders the way flowers are. Because of cheap flowers from places like Colombia, there's hardly a single rose or chrysanthemum grower left in the U.S., says Casey Cronquist. He's CEO of the California Cut Flower Commission.
People can't believe it. How did we do this? How did we get here? And it goes back to these trade agreements in the early 90s, and kind of the rest is history.
That history begins with cocaine. Starting in 1991, the U.S. signed trade deals aiming to get South American cocaine growers to cultivate flowers instead. The government has sent hundreds of millions of dollars in subsidies. And it's also cut tariffs on South American flowers.
That's what I think is kind of trade policy run amok.
To survive, U.S. farmers sought protected niches, like potted flowers, which are in soil, which can't be shipped internationally. In Salinas, families like the Omictons are now betting on cannabis, because marijuana farmers overseas can't ship in boatloads of legal product at dirt cheap prices. For the California Report, I'm Sam Harnett in Salinas.
All right, so listen to this. This cacophony of marine sounds comes from 3,000 feet below the surface of the ocean, some 18 miles off the coast from where I'm talking with you. And these sounds include dolphins, whales, the barking of sea lions, and other sea creatures. It was recorded by a special underwater microphone called a hydrophone. And it's part of a project by the Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute, or MBARI. Oceanographer John Ryan works there, and he operates this underseas microphone.
We listen to the ocean because that's really the only way to fully understand life in the ocean. The ocean is the largest living space on the planet, and it's largely dark. So it's no surprise that animals have evolved to use sound for navigation, communication, foraging, for the essentials of life.
And with that, this week, we'll be exploring the sounds of the waters off the coast and asking you what you think they are. And here's our first ocean noise. Take a listen. Tune in tomorrow for the answer to what this sound is. In the meantime, we want to know what you think it is. You can email us. We're at calreport@kqev.org. The Defense Language Institute Foreign Language Center was established in 1963, and since then, this crown jewel of United States education, located in Monterey, has become the standard in turning students into fluent foreign speakers. Well, for the next few days, we have partnered with the Institute and KAZU in Monterey to play a game with you, and here's how it works. We're going to take an unidentified language, play it to you on the air, and you're going to tell us what it is. We're going to pick a random winner from all the correct answers and send those winners all kinds of KAZU swag. And with that, here's our first entry.
Hi, my name is Eun-jung Kim. I'm working for Defense Language Institute. 지금까지 캘리포니아 리포트였습니다. 한 주간 도와주신 캘리포니아 주립대학교 몬트레이 베이 캠퍼스의 KAZU 방송국에 감사드리며 CSUMB Others Fighting! 샌프란시스코 KQED 공영 라디오 프로덕션 진행의 존 스폴바도이었습니다. 청취자 여러분, 좋은 하루 되십시오.
Okay, so do you know what language that is? Email us the answer at calreport@kqed.org for your chance to win a big old goodie bag from our friends at KAZU. And with that, I'm John Sepulvedo. Have a great day.